kosher kelim that they shouldn't become treif. It says in the Chumash that if you have a korban chatos, you can only eat the kohanim eat the korban chatos, and the Israelim are not permitted to eat. But the korban chatos can only be eaten yom v'laylo ad chatos. So if you take the korban chatos and you cook it in a, you broil it, or you cook it in a container, so it gets a blear from the flesh of the korban chatos. But right now everything is kosher. There is no problem. Kosher top and kosher level, everything is kosher. But as soon as it'll come, alos hashachar, let's say they brought the korban chatos on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, so the kohanim can eat it all day long and all night long until midnight. And after midnight, midrabbanon, they're not permitted to eat it, and I tell you they can eat it till alos hashachar. So let's say they'll eat it all up by midnight. Everything will be gone, and then they'll wash off the pot, they'll be spick and span, they'll put it away in the cabinet. But it has a bliya, of the korban. So that bliya will become trace. That bliya becomes treif when it comes alos hashachar. Noisa. So if you'll have a korban chatos tomorrow and you want to broil it in the same pot, and so the treif of bliya from today's noisa will go in and it'll make a problem and it'll make treif tomorrow's korban chatos. So the Chumash says, and this week said it, Parshas Tav, Morak Lishut of Bamot, you have to do a hagolah. You have to kasha the pot to prevent it from becoming treif. So the Belt says that the reason why it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Negoinim, the tradition for Negoinim, that Parshas Tzav is always Shabbos HaGadol, because in Parshas Tzav you have the special dinim of Hagolah. Hagolah on a kosher, the Bliya was kosher, but it's going to become treif. You do a Hagolah to prevent it from coming treif. So that's basically what you do with the Kovet Pesach. All year long we weren't cooking Chazah, we were cooking kosher food in our pot. There's another parsha of Hagolah in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, in parsha's Matur, by Melchemes Midian, by the Klei Midian. It says that they even waged war against the Midianim, and they killed a lot of people, and they captured a lot of behemoths and a lot of human beings, and then they captured all the trace of Kalim, and it says that they captured the Kalim, and they would table them in a mikveh. They captured the Kalim, so it says some of the Kalim they had to do Hagolah, and some of the Kalim they had to do Libun. Whatever, Tashmisha Ideho Ur, if you have a tray for broiler that the Nochrim used to broil chazer, to broil nevelus, the tray is, so then you have to do libun, you have to glioys the tray for kelim. But if you have a tray for kli that was tashmish aidei roitev, aidei mashkin, you cooked with the soup, you cooked tray for flesh together with the liquid, it wasn't broiled, so then you can do libun. Then you can do Hagolah, and there's no need. If you do Libun, it's Avarigut, but it's not necessary to do Libun. It's sufficient if you do Hagolah. So the Chumash in the end of Bamidbar says that sometimes you need Libun, and sometimes you need Hagolah, depending how the Bliya was. And here in Parshas Tzav, it doesn't give an option. It doesn't say that sometimes you need Libun, sometimes you need Hagolah. So why is that? What if they broil the korban chatos on a broiler? So why shouldn't you need libun? So the Gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah asks about that discrepancy. How come by kulikle nidyon, by kashing the treif of kelim, it says two possibilities, either hagolah or libun? And here in Parshas Tzav, it just says a morak v'shuta bamoyim, you do hagolah with water. It doesn't say that you never need libun. It doesn't mention. So in the last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Gemara gives two answers. So the first Amora says in the Gemara, he uses a melitza from a pasuk in Iyov. He says, Yagid Olaf Reyo. The pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar is Megalep shot in the pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Just like over there, the two brands of kashery. Neither kashery Aidei Hagola or Aidei Libun. It depends Kibolo, Kachfoto. The same way the Bliya was, that's the way you get out the plates. If the bliya was ayidei ha'esh, if it was by broiling, then you have to have a libun to get out the tray for bliya. If the bliya was ayidei mashkin, then you can get out the tray for bliya ayidei hagola. So too in Parshas Tzav, even though it only mentions hagola, Mark Yishuta Bamoyim with burning hot water, but it's self understood that there are two ways. If you broil the korban chatos in a broiler, then you need libun, and if you cooked it in a pot with a lot of liquid, then you do hagola. And we don't pass them like that. We pass them like the Maskonis HaGemar, that you don't say Yagid Olav Reyo. That in Parshas Tzav, since it's Hetera Bola, in Parshas Yulik Le Midian, Parshas Matos, where the Nochem are cooking tray for chaz and a tray for nevelas. So sometimes the halacha requires libun. It's a stronger bliya, so you need a stronger plato. Kibola kach polta, the same way it's bolea, that's how you maflet it. But in Parsha Stav, we're talking about a kosher apart. I cooked the kornachatis, everything was kosher. The only thing is if I leave it till I'll eat it all up, the kohanim will finish eating the kornachatis, they'll wash off the pan and I'll put it away. So the bliya in the daifan hakli is also something. So that bliya, the Chumash warns us, that bliya will become treif when it comes alo sashachar. But if I'll do a hagolah on the kli, even though the kli should have really required libun to get the full bliya out, what's the din if you do hagolah on a kli that really needed libun? The hagolah will knock out most of the bliya. The Yisumah won't knock out all of the bliya, but the ruba of the bliya will be removed. So it's just going to be an insignificant amount of bliya that's going to be left. If it's an Easter, if originally the Nochen cooked treifas, they cooked chazer and the velas of treifas in the pot, so if you have a little bit of a treif of bliya taitash, so that's sufficient. That little bit of bliya is enough to carry on the Easter, to maintain the Easter. But if it's originally heterabol, originally we cooked the carbon chatas in the pot and everything was kosher. The only thing is, when it's going to come, alois ha-shachar, it will become, the bliya, that's balu on the daif ne'akli, will become today. So then the Gemara says, if you do ha-gole, ruba deruba of the bliya will go out. What's going to remain behind the ran, in the end of perikol abasa, the ran ha-chulan, and there is, coins the term, what the bliya that will be remaining behind will be a shvacha bliya, will be a tam kolush, and a tam kolush, you cannot, the Torah doesn't initiate an Isser on a Tam Kolish. If you had an Isser, if you started off an Isser, something was treif, and now all that's left is a Tam Kolish, so a Tam Kolish, a Shvacha Tam, is enough to maintain an Isser. That it should be a Hemshech, it should continue. But that the Isser should be Chalad, Alois HaShachah, the Isser Noitzer, should be Chalad on a Shvacha Tam Kolish, that's not, so that's the secret, that's why the Chumash has the din of Hagolah. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says over here in Sochim on Daf Lamed on the days. The Gemara, and the top Tosfos, the famous Tosfos. The Gemara says about kashering. The Mana Gemara was expensive. You couldn't have separate kelim for chometz and separate kelim for Pesach. So they used to take, years ago, everybody did it. They used to take all of the chometz and kelim and kasher them with all the Pesach. So the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara has that, yeah. We'll get to that. So the Gemara says, that's how the Rabbi in the Tam holds. So the Tosfos has a kasha, the top Tosfos on Laman on the base. The Gemara says, how do you kasha the Chometz Zika Kalim with covered Pesach? The Gemara says, Hagola, with burning hot water, Beroitzchim. So Tosfos, and the Gemara talks about knives. How do you kasha knives? You do Hagola, Beroitzchim. So Tosfos strikes a kasha, that there is a Tosefta in Avodah Zarah where it says that if you have knives that you use to turn over the meat on the broiler, you need libun, because there is no reiter, there is no mashkin. It's b'liya yidei ha'esh, mamish al-gabi ha'esh, yidei ha'esh, without any mashkin, so you need libun. But how come here it says that the knives are enough with hagola? They could answer the different kind of knives. This is talking about table knives. When you cut the trefer, let's say you cut trefer meat on the table. So that's not al gabi ho'esh. There's no mashkin, but it's not a bli on the esh. So that will also be enough with hagolah. The only time that the Sefer says that knives require libun is if it's a knife that you use to directly on top of the fire. So the bli is mamish al gabi ho'esh, bli reitet, so kibolo kach polto. So that's a simple answer, the different kind of knives. Some knives are sufficient with hagolah, and other knives will need libun. So Rabbeinu Tam, here's Rabbeinu Tam, no. There's a different answer. Just like the Gemara, just like Rav Ashi says in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, a difference between Parshas Tzav and Parshas Matos, that whenever it's a terabola, then if you do Hagol instead of Libun, most of the Tam will be removed. The Tam that will be remaining behind will only be Tam Kolush, and Yisrael cannot be Chal on a Tam Kolush. So the same is true over here. When it comes to Pesach, if I'll do Hagol on the baking tins that I bake bread and cake and cookies all year long, they're really supposed to do Liman. What'll be if I'll do Hagolah? It won't be good enough. Why won't it be good enough? It'll only take out most of the Tom, but a little bit of Tom Kolish will remain behind. But so what? That Tom Kolish is kosher. It doesn't become treif until it comes Pesach. When it comes Pesach, the halacha says a nisa cannot be chal anatam kolish. That's the shittas Rabbeinu Tam. That he says that you never need libun. You never need libun. Hagol is always sufficient. So he points out that we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran on this daf, the Achlamish, quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He holds that he's wrong. When is it called Hetera Bola? That's the mashal. If I have a fleshy broiler, I have a milchik broiler, I broil cheese sandwiches, I broil chicken or something like that. So it's kosher. It's a kosher broiler just that it's fleshig or it's milchik. So there, or I have, I broiled the carbon chato. Everything is absolutely kosher. It doesn't have a shame noise until tomorrow morning. Today, the bliya was, it doesn't even have a shame noise. The bliya is absolutely kosher. Or flesh alone, or milk alone, everything is kosher. So if I want to kosher it, I want to kasher the broiler to prevent it from becoming noiser. So I say the shame noiser is not going to be chal when it comes. Alos hashachar, the chal shame noiser would not be chal on a tam kolish. Or if I have a milchik broiler and I decide I want to change it to a fleshy, I want to make it into a fleshy broiler. So it's going to become basa b'cholov. How can you use it for fleshy? So I'll kasher it. So how far do I have to kasher it? So the Rebbe Kizegi says you don't have to do libun, just do hagolah. Most of the tam will be removed. The little bit of tam that will remain behind will be a tam kolish. And that tam kolish of cholov, of cheese, cannot combine with the basa to become shein basa b'cholov. It doesn't become treif until the basa combines with the cholov. And if it's combining at the time that either A or B, either the basa or the cholov is only a tam kolish, so the issa doesn't get off the ground. It doesn't begin. But on chomeis, the Ramban says, what do you mean? Until Pesach, it's muta. Yeah, because it's not Pesach, but it's not that the chomeis comes into existence on Pesach, it was chomet all year long. The thing was chomet. Chomet shmoy olav. That's what the Ramban says. Chomet shmoy olav. It's called chomet all year long. It's not that it turns into chomet. Basa b'cholav only comes into existence when the basa joins with the cholav. Noiser. The carbon is not noiser till it comes alos hashach. Up until the morning, it's not noiser.
The
Ramban says not so. This Ramban says not so. You're quoting another Ramban. There's another Ramban. Right. When do you have to stop eating mouse? So that's a contradiction to this Ramban. To this famous Ramban, that's the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes you do need libun for Chomet Zikikim. Sometimes you need libun and sometimes you need agolah.
Could it be that preventive? When you do the what's name, when you do the
Agolah
beforehand, the Agolah beforehand, basically
it.
You don't make it kosher, you prevent it from becoming trade. Yeah,
that's it.
And
that's
preventing it. The prevention, maybe Agolah altogether. So you can almost assume a principle that for prevention, Agolah enough.
That's the Gemara. That's exactly the Gemara. The end of Avodah Zarah. If it's a terrible, you're preventing the Yisra from being chal, so then it's enough with Hagolah. And the Hezbollah, you have to add on a little bit.
Then you don't compare to anything, because it's due with the timing, not with the...
Exactly.
The more you shoot up a mind will only help if you do it boy boy yoin. If you wait till the next day...
Oh, that's a machlekes 2 days in Taisus, and a machlekes the Ramam and the Raivis. When it says in Parsha Tzav that you do Hagolah, you always do Hagolah, so when do you do the Hagolah? Yes. So the Rambam in one day in Taisus Mizrachim says the Hagolah has to be done immediately after the Achila, before Alot HaShachar. Right. If you wait till after Alot HaShachar and it already became Aser, then you will need Libun. Then you will need Libun if it was done by Brilliant. And the Raivid disagrees and he says, no. The mitzvah to do Hagolah only makes sense if it already became noiser. The mitzvah is to wait till it becomes noiser, then to kasher. What do you mean? You kasher a kosher a pot?
Yeah.
What are you kashering a kosher a pot for?
We kasher always kosher a pot for Pesach.
Right. Okay.
We do that.
Okay. But the writer says it's not a mitzvah. Mark, we should have our mind. The Mrikah Shtif is not in the Azor. It's a mitzvah.
Yeah, right.
So he says the writer holds it doesn't make sense to label it as a mitzvah.
If you did it before, you didn't do a mitzvah either.
That's what he claims. So the machlekes is the Ramam and the writer, men akata la kata opposite. When you do this mitzvah of Mariko Shtifa, when someone cooks the broiled carbon chatos in a pot, and now you want to kasher the pot, do you have to mitzvah to kasher the pot? Merk Mishuta Mamoyim. Is that mitzvah fulfilled if you do the Mariko Shtifa immediately following the Achila before the Zman Yisur to prevent it from becoming Noisa? That's the Rambam in the one day in Taisus. And they write it, and the other day it says, Punkt verkehrt. It only makes sense as a mitzvah to kasher a treifer pot. You have to wait till it becomes neuser, and then you have to kasher the pot.
And when is the time kolish? That is neuser already. Why is it the time kolish?
Oh, then he has a whole different shot. Yeah. This whole story, time kolish, that's only the explanation that the Ran gives according to the Rambam. That's the pshat that we have accepted in Shulchan Aruch is the Ran with the time kolish, not like the Raizen. We have accepted the Rambam, that you do the Hagolah immediately following the Achila. The Rambam writes a strange lashon, and he says, you do the Merika Shtifa, Ekev Achila. Ekev, Ayin Kuv Beis. But the Rabbi says, I'm not so sure what that word Ekev means. Ekev means immediately following, at the heel. Ekev Tishma sounds like the Rambam learned shot in the Pasuk, that you get the Schar immediately. After you do the Mitzvah, Ekev Tishma Mitzvaisai, so the Torah promises Schar, sounds like you get the Schar immediately. We always trained into thinking, do the mitzvahs, Boilam Azei, got the Schar, Noelam Abba. But the Rambam uses the Lashon, Ekev Achila means immediately following the Achila, before it becomes night.
You have no problem doing the Yontif. You have no problem doing the Libun and Yontif, right away.
Korban Chatos all year long. Korban Chatos all year long. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchas Yontif, the Magen Avraham has a discussion. Is there a prohibition in kashering a treifer pot on Yontif? Is there an issur misakin mona? Is there an issur misakin mona? In fact, that's where the tefilas kelim is also a big discussion in Rishonim. Is it permissible to do tefilas kelim? Whenever you buy silverware or pots and pans that belong to a nachri, you have to be tefil in a mikveh. So that's a discussion in the Magen Mishnah along Mishnah Berurah. Is it permissible to do the Tfilas Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov or not? Because the Mishnah says you're not permitted to be Tovel Kelim Tmeim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what if it's not Kelim Tmeim? It's Kelim Shenikchim in Anochim. And it's a mitzvah to be Tovel it, but you're not allowed to use it before you're not supposed to use the Kelim before you Tovel it. So maybe that's for sure a Mesakin Monik. Or maybe it's not at all Mesakin Monik. A big machlok is maybe. For sure it's Mesakin Monik because you're not supposed to use the pots and pans at all. If you have a tomei dikei kli, you can use it to put in oichlam dan a tomei. You can't use it for oichlam tahorim. But if you have a kli that's not getoivel, so you can't use it at all. But maybe that's for sure called misakman if you're going to be toivel at a mikveh. If you can't use it. If you can't use it at all.
The thing is, if you do use it, the food doesn't become
does not become a.
That's maybe the thing.
So that's a big machlekes. We assume it's not permissible to do tefilas kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though the Kelim are not Tomei, it's a mitzvah tefilas Kelim, Kelim Adikram and Anochim, we consider that also Misakim. So it's in that Magen Avraham in Hilchas Yom Tov, when it discusses the permissibility of being Magil, Trefer Kelim on Yom Tov, that he quotes from the Rebbe Rav Shachna Minig, that you never kasha from Fleishik to Milchik, from Milchik to Fleishik. Because you'll get all confused, you'll forget Gumahal.
Yeah.
This used to be milchik, then it became fleshy, then it became milchik. You won't remember which mahadur you're holding by, whether you're holding by fleshy or milchik. So the Magen Avraham quotes such a minig, you only kasha from trait.
What difference does it make once you kasha it?
No, sometimes, if you go back and forth, so you may think, oh, today we're holding by milchik. Maybe now milchik. You're holding by fleshy. You may use it without kasha. Yeah.
The only time you kasha, you wait for Pesach. And then you
right, and then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chasam Sefer right on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you already kasha it for Pesach, from Chometz to Pesach, then once you kasha it already, you can use it for Faker.
That's you can use it for the Yachim. That's the reason you do it on Ekev. You do it right away, so you do not get forget, did I do it or didn't do it? That's probably the reason that after Ekev you do it immediately.
Could be, but we assume a different reason. We assume that the Ekev is to prevent it from becoming trait. That's what we assume. That's why Hagolah is good, even though the Bliya was Ayadei Ho'esh. There is an issue to allow the star hakorban, it's not food, but it'll still become trait. There's no avera on letting it become nicer, but it'll become trait. Earlier, it becomes nicer earlier. They made a chumah. No, they tell you to eat everything before chatzai. They don't make it nicer, they tell you to finish eating it or whatever.
But if you don't, and you want to eat it after this?
them.
You're allowed to. Okay. Because you weren't supposed to leave it on until Chatzai. The Rabbanim didn't do anything wrong. You did wrong by leaving until Chatzai. The Rabbanim didn't do anything wrong. You're not supposed to leave over the place till Chatzai. Yeah. The Talmud Yerushalmi has a third form. We know there are two forms of kashering. There's Hagola and there's Libun. Whenever it's Tashmish Ha'idei Ha'esh, Tashmish Ha'idei Ha'ur, Ur is light and Ur is fire. So whenever Tashmish Ha'idei Ha'ur, whenever you broil on a broiler, then you have to have Libun. Unless it's a terabola, unless it's a carbon chatos that didn't become nosa yet, or it's a fleshy grill, or it's a milchy grill, and it didn't become bas b'cholav yet, so then Hagola would be sufficient. But for chametz b'pesa, Shulchan Aruch machma like the Ramban to consider it isurabol. So again, so there's one form of kashering is libun, one form is Hagola, and how do you decide which form of kashering you need? So the klal is kibola kachpolta, however it was balea, that's how you get the bliya out. So then the Talmud Yerushalmi says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that there's a third form of kashering that's also kibola kachpolta, by soaking.
Yeah.
That let's say I had schnapps glasses that were balea schnapps, because sometimes you leave schnapps in for more than 24 hours. So it's a kovish kemabush. So since the whole bliya is only betzainen, I de kovish by soaking, so I say kibola kachpolta, I can remove the bliya by soaking also. But then the soaking, you don't just soak it, you don't have to figure out what's the longest you ever left the schnapps in the glass. Is 30 hours, so you have it soaked for 30 hours. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, no, you have to have it soaked for 3 days, for 3 units of 24 hours each. You have to have Nila V'Yira Gimel Yom, for 72 hours. You have it soaked in water for 24 hours, then you change the water, then you soak it in a new water for 24 hours, more than 24 hours, then you throw out the water, then you soak it a third time. Chuchis is a taka nizdaf. On the previous daf, yeah. That's a machloikis in Rishonim, but it's chuchis is balea. Whether assume glass is balea. Yeah. So the mechaber quotes the Rishonim, the Ran and the Chachmas Sfarad that glass is not balea. It's shia, it's smooth, veloid bala. It's not balea. The Gemara talks about kelim that are smooth and they're simply not balea. The bliya doesn't go in. And then the Ramur quotes balea taisus who are machmer about this. That we're not sure whether this is correct or not. So that's why we're not sure how to treat this chuchis. So that's why we have to go to Chumre and consider the possibility that chuchis is like Klecheric. And maybe it's Balea and Hagala doesn't even help. Minakota alakota, just Punta Hefa. The Mechaba holds that it's not Balea at all. They tested it, and to the best of their knowledge, it's Shia, Balea, Balea, it's smooth and it's not Balea. And there are more quotes, the Balea Tesis to say, we don't know how to deal with this glass. We have to be choshish that maybe it's balea and even the Hagola doesn't help. So that's what the Ramor writes, that Chumra, that we are Machman. The Ramor writes it in Hilchos Pesach, he never writes it in Yerideya. In the second Chelik Yerideya, when they talk about Hagola and Libun, so they say that Klichera is Hagola doesn't help, but it never says anything about Klez Chuchas, about Klez. So that's why some Machman.
I remember the Psalm, he has one photograph.
Yeah, because you never pour in flesh, you never pour in hot
soup. Coffee.
Usually what you have is you have hot coffee, it's a cliché already, and then you pour in the milk. You don't pour in the milk and then pour the burning hot water. If you would have milk and pour in the burning hot water, that's irui. Irui is mavashal and mavliya, so that would cause the milk to be taken nibble into the glass. But usually you don't do it like that. First you put in the coffee. Once the coffee lands, it's a cliché. Then when you pour in the milk, so we say, strictly speaking, cliché is not mavashal.
Microwave. Microwave, cooking
it. Yeah, now. Yeah, so now if you cook the milk inside, or if you cook fleshig soup inside a glass container, so then you will have a shot. Maybe it's for less. So then the Rambo would not allow you to have. I remember also, I have one set of glasses. Well, that's another. People say they can tell that I'm from a different generation, that I only have one set of glasses. Apparently all the younger people have two sets of glasses. I don't know, my parents told me we have only one set of glasses. Yeah. We don't pour in hot milk, we don't pour in hot chicken soup, we don't pour in hot flesh. We're machmer on glass also. So the shaila is, The shaila is, what about the chumras haramor? The glass is bolei and you treat it like cheres. It's a question whether the ramor only meant to be machmer for Pesach or he meant to be machmer for treifus all year long as well. So most of the achrayim assume the ramor's chumra applies to all year long, and some say maybe it's only a chumra by Pesach. But by Pesach, that is the practice. Let's say if you have glasses that you're concerned, maybe you left some milk with some cookie crumbs in them for more than 24 hours and Kovish Kemavushal, that caused a bliyah. If it was sitting for 24 hours, it caused a bliyah. So if it was balei, they say then, even if you treat it like a klicheris, even if it would be mamish a klicheris, if it was balei, ayidei tzayinen, ayidei kovush, then the Talmud Yerushalmi says, and it's quoted la'aloch and shulchan aruch, that if you soak it for 3 days, kibolakach polto, the bliyah will come out like that. You don't say you soak it for 30 hours, because the maximum it was balei, ayidei kovush, 30 hours, no. Kibolakach polto, just cover which form of kashering you need, and then once you have determined which form of kashering you need, then you have to follow the rules and regulations of that form. So Nilaviri needs Gimel Yom.
How does Nilaviri come in? The Shalmi doesn't mention anything from Nilaviri. It does mention there 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days. And changing the word. Nilaviri Gimel Yom, yeah. But the Shach points out in Yeriday that Nilaviri Gimel Yom doesn't apply letter Her Chazashmal. Sitting in a Kli, Cheres, for more than 24 hours, that wouldn't help to do Nilaviri Gimel Yom. Why? And even not Shuma. Let's say clam juice, some other trace of stuff. It only helps if it's chomet, because we do consider the svara of the Bali Atos that it's a terabola. We haven't totally rejected this Rabbi Natam, who says that chomet is a terabola. So the Shach says, chomet karama pesa, we treat it like a terabola, and that's why we make on the Mili Riri Gimel Yomim. And then he says, on Samyena we work. The Babli says that, on Samyena. If you do Mila Viri Gimel Yomim work, so he says, that's a kula by Samyena, a special kula by Samyena that we're making. A lot of kulas on Blias Kalim by Samyena as opposed to other traces. But on a real kli that was Balea, a klicheris that was Balea, real traces, even the Tzayna, like they kovush, we wouldn't permit Mila Viri Gimel Yomim. A special kula, only chomet, because a terabola, or mamish a terabola, let's say I have a container that I had milk in. The milk was soaking for more than 24 hours. And it's a klicheris. So then we would allow mila v'yiri, gimel yomim. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes, and we talk in la'aloch and Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the machlekes. It says, whenever mila v'yiri, gimel yomim is acceptable, then hagolas ha'kavachayman that is acceptable. Let's say it's 2.5 days before Pesach. I don't have 72 hours to make a Mila Viri Gimel Yomim. And you can't do the Mila Viri Gimel Yomim into Pesach, because Chomet B'Pesach is B'Mashu. We'll get to that. You can't do any kashering like this on Pesach. If you don't have 72 hours left to Pesach, what do you do? So says Shulchan Aruch, don't worry, just do Hagolah. If Mila Viri takes out the Bliya, the Hagolah certainly takes out the Bliya. We assume that Klicheres Hagolah doesn't help. No, Hagolah doesn't help if it have a Bliya B'Chamet. If it had a hot bliya, but if the bliya was the tzaynin, and you could have removed the bliya all day, meal of the year, gimel yamin, by soaking it, by kovush, that's a kalachayma, that the bliya will come out. Are you day hagola? Libun kal, when you have a tray for kli, and you heat it up, you assume that the heat is so powerful that it serves the treif of bliya inside. So the Gemara doesn't give you temperatures, how high you have to heat it up. So the Bavli on the last daf in Avodah Zarah gives you after some kind of a description of how hot, and the Talmud Yerushalmi gives you a description of how hot it is. Neither gives you a temperature. So the Rishonim have a machlokes, how hot is it, Lamaisa? How hot is it supposed to be? So the one opinion of Rishonim is Gor. We call that the Libun Chomor. They hold it has to be something like 950 degrees or above. That's my reason. The Yerushalmi gives a description, you have to heat it till a layer of metal falls off. That's 950 degrees. If you have a thick piece of metal, and you heat it long enough, a layer of metal will fall off. Right, Kibbola Kachpolta just determines which form of kashering you need, whether Libun, Hagola, or Mila V'Yiru. But once you determine which form you need, then you have to conform to the rules and regulations of that kind of kashering. The libun
water
means,
has to be
malavavuos. Yeah, has to be malavavuos. No, let's say in factories, sometimes we know that they never cook it higher than a certain temperature. Let's say chocolate, milk and chocolate. And you want to make it, you want to kasher the machinery, so if they'll cook it 140 degrees, it'll burn the chocolate. It won't get cooked fast, it'll burn. They never make it higher than 120 degrees. They make it way less than that. So that's a shaila. When you kasher, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you still need malah babuot. Whenever you do hagola, you have to have 212 or carve to 212.
Something you need to cook less than
200? Yes. 200 degrees, 205 degrees, something like that. It has to be very close to 212 degrees. It has to be malah babuot. Even though you know for sure that the bliyah was only 120 degrees. But still, the bliyah was ayudei mashke, so that determines that you need hagola. Once you determine that you need hagola, then hagola has its own rules and regulations that you have to have malah babuot. Has to be at the boiling point. So regarding the libun, the Gemara doesn't give a temperature. The Bavli gives one description and the Yerushalmi gives the other. So the description given by the Yerushalmi about the layer of metal falling off, that corresponds to 950 degrees. And other Rishonim disagree and they say, no, you don't need so much. It's sufficient with a libun kal, which usually in America they say is 550 degrees. It's really much less. Something like 480, but the reason why they say, all the rabbanim say 550 is because all the ovens go to 550 in America. The maids all say 550. Well, why should you say 490? If the oven is, if the gauge may not be accurate, so it'll be only 450. So say 550. The oven goes to 550. 550, that solves all the problems. So that's a machlekes and rishonim. How hard do you have to do the lever? So we paskin and Shulchan Aruch, we paskin the following compromise. When you have a broiler where they broiled chazer and the veilus of trefes isura bola, and the din really requires that you need libun, as it says in the chumash. Kol davish yavu ba'esh tavira ba'esh badigulik klein nidyon. If it was balei aydei ha'esh, then you need libun. Then you have to have the 950. Then you have to have the libun chomer. But if it's hetera bola, and really the din the gemara says, let's say some milchik, the fleshiks or fleshiks, the milchik of para or whatever. We're talking about hetera bala, and really the din would be that hagola is enough, but for your purposes it's easier to do libun, so you're only doing libun as a substitute for hagola. So then we assume that libun kal would be sufficient. Libun kal would be sufficient. So that's one case where we distinguish between libun kal, libun kum. And then in Hilchas Pesach, even though we are machmer like the Ramban, that we consider chomich mayol of all year long, it's not called hetera bola, and we sometimes do require libun, but the Rabbeinu Tam has not been totally rejected. The Rabbeinu Tam claims that chometz kodem haPesach is hetera bola. So we haven't fully rejected the Rabbeinu Tam. V'haraya, the Shach said, we rely on the Rabbeinu Tam for the milah v'yirut. We only allow milah v'yirut gimel yamin for chometz kodem zmana because it's hetera bola, and for samyenim because of kula and samyenim. We wouldn't rely on the kula milah v'yirut gimel yamin for if there would be chazer or clam juice or something, that would be balei aydei tzaini. It wouldn't be mekel to do milah v'yirut gimel yamin. So here too, the Mechaber makes the following compromise. He discusses what if you have a frying pan. So a frying pan, you always pour in a little bit of oil, and you fry something. So let's say the Nochem used it to fry chazer. So is that considered tashmish aydei ha'ur? Because you have so little oil in it, it's basically, there's no mashke. Or do you say, no, you always have a little oil in order that it shouldn't burn. So that's how you day mashke, so it's enough with hagola. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. The Rashbo and the Taras Habayis and the Derek Habayis have a whole machlekes about that. If you have a machavas, where they do frying, so do you treat it like, the bliya being how you day mashkin? And it's sufficient, a frying pan would be sufficient with hagola, or do you treat it like, the bli aydei ha'ur, and you would need libun. If it's a deep fry, and it has has 10 inches deep, that's aydei mashkin. That's aydei mashkin. So that's for sure you can do, hagola, you don't need libun. But it's not a deep fry. A frying pan, and you've just put the quarter of an inch of oil, and then it's gonna...
You don't need oil. You can passionate that.
Teflon is a question whether you can kasher. Teflon is like a new kind of material. It's like plastic. So that's a shaila. We don't know how to deal with plastic. So most of the poskim assume that plastic all year long we do kasher. You can do hagolah on plastic. And for a Pesach, Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmer that you shouldn't do hagolah on plastic. Like those achanim who said in the Ramah, that the Ramah says about glass, that you treat glass like klicheres, because the Gemara doesn't say how to treat glass. So we're machmer to treat it like cheres that you can't do hagolah. So some achanim said the chumer of the Ramah was only by Pesach, it wasn't all year long. We'd rather don't follow that. We are machmer to treat glass all year long like klicheres. But the Baruch Renimus said that there are more men to make this compromise. That's what Rav Moshe recommends. And others are makele to do hagolah on plastic containers, even for paper. That, that if you do hagolah, the beliah will come out. Yeah. A lot of times they'll put in coal. They're burning hot coal. Will get higher than 950 degrees. Or they use a torch.
A lighter remedy than a shallow fire.
Yeah.
Oil will reach a much higher
temperature. Yeah.
So if you want to use Hagala,
yes. The Hagala, the water is going to evaporate at 212. It can't be higher than 212. And the oil is much higher than, way higher than 212. Nonetheless, that's not lucky. You don't see Kibola Kachpolto, since the oil was 700 degrees, so the Hagala has to be with oil that should be 700 degrees. No. We just say Kibola Kachpolto, we say it's Hagala. And then Hagolah follows its own rules, and Hagolah is enough if it's 212, even though the Bliya was way higher than 212. Bliya was 700 degrees. Yeah, that's the halacha. So in Hilchas Pesach, the Mechaber writes this compromise. He says, there is a machlokes of Rishonim regarding a frying pan, not a deep fry. Deep fry is Hagolah. Everybody agrees. But if you have a regular frying pan, you hardly have any, you have a quarter of an inch of oil over there. Is that treated like so you need libun, or is it treated like bliyayde mashkin, so it's sufficient with hagolah? So the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch makes the following compromise, apshara. So he says for all year long that you're talking about treifis, so you have to be machmer to require hagolah, to require a libun. But for Pesach, it's like a sex faker. Some Rishonim hold that hagolah is enough on frying pans. And some Rishonim hold that chametz kodem na Pesach is always a terrible thing. They never need libun to call it Pesach. So he said this would constitute a sex breaker. Since some Rishonim hold that Hagolah is always enough for Pesach. Some Rishonim hold that a frying pan is genug with Hagolah, so you can be makel. So that's what many poskim suggest regarding libun. That even if you're machmer that you need libun, for Pesach, we're machma like the Ramban. You do need libun on baking tins where you bake the bread cake and cookies. But there's a machlekes Rishonim. How high does the heat have to be that it should be considered libun? Does it have to be 950? That's what we call libun chomer. Or is it enough with 550 or 480 that we would call 490 that we would call a libun kal? So that's a machlekes. So some poskim hold that you never need. Some of us call you never need libun. Hagala is enough. Hagolah is enough. And some poskim hold that even libun kal is good even for treifis. So that's what some poskim say. Just like the Mechaber made a sex faker to say that on a frying pan, that chometzikah, a frying pan, would be enough with Hagolah because it is sex faker. The many poskim want to say that the Pesach should always be good enough with a libun kal. The minig is not so. The minig is that usually requires. The plastic candle will melt. Yes, you have a plastic candle, it will melt. Absolutely. If you leave something in a self-cleaning oven, that's libun chomer. The self-cleaning oven gets higher than 950 degrees. Yes. The plastic will melt, for sure. If you have a continually cleaning oven, that will not reach such a high degree. That'll not be libun chomer. That'll only be libun kal. But if you have a self-cleaning oven, that'll definitely be libun chomer.
That's great. Continuous cleaning oven would be good.
That's the shaila. If you hold this, it should be, many poskim hold like that, that libun kal should be good. The minig is not so. The minig is that people are machma to do a lima chamas a Pesach.
Can you do for living today, let's say, the modern scientists, let's say, short weight, light weight for living and so forth? There are all kinds of powers today that is huge.
Yeah.
Can this be, what is this considered?
You know? I'm not familiar. The whole idea of libun is that it's sort the bliya bim koma. Has to be sort the bliya.
It doesn't get hot, then you use microwaves. The food doesn't get hot. It just wiggles it, but it doesn't get that hot.
Most of the meaning is the bimachma to require libun koma.
It.
Which really the same as glass. I remember I was in a chemistry lab with Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik, Olivar Sholem, and I was telling him that my mother asked me to ask him whether Pyrex is Bolea. So we were doing an experiment with a test tube. He was very nervous, if you remember. He used to be very, very nervous. So he started to scream at me, "Idiot! What an idiot!" He said, "You're making an experiment with a Pyrex test tube." He says, and you're dropping in exactly one drop, two drops. He says, if there's a blia from before, so you have all the blias from yesterday for the day before, so the whole experiment is not always held. He says, of course the Pyrex is not Balea. 100% not Balea. Yeah, but the minig is lachna. The minig is lachna again.
Actually, you said by the higher the frequency is, the more energy you supply to the object. But the frequency, the energy is a function of the frequency, related exactly to the frequency. So when you use 50 hertz, and here you use like a gamma wave, which is like, 10 to the 9, I don't know what it would be, but you wouldn't feel the hotness at night when you do it to a higher.
The whole idea of Liban has to be that it's sort of income, has to be very, very hot.
That probably does it. A higher frequency would do it.
Would do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That is to say,
yeah.
Somebody has to be covered. I don't know. That's what he's asking.
The molecule.
What can you put in? You mean put in a glass?
Put in anything else? You can't put in a metal, but you put in glasses to.
So that would be a lima chamer. That would be like a lima chamer.
Yeah.
Okay.
The microwave.
Okay. The Gemara says that even Kli Cheres, that Hagola doesn't help, but Liban does help.
Kashi is something in the oven. You put in a glass, you want to kashi. Not to kashi the microwave oven itself.
The glass.
Yeah.
Right. 2-3 seconds. No. It's the whole thing locked in and it has a whole cycle and then it's finished.
It goes for a few hours. You can send it for many hours.
Well.
But if you put it for a little time and you have there something, it doesn't get burned to ashes. It's only if you go through for a long
time. For a few hours?
We have a token go. If you don't let it go for a long time, it doesn't come out. You don't see the ashes.
Okay.
Okay.
Here the Gemara has. Yeah. To do libun on an oven with a torch is really very hard. The oven will probably cave in before it'll get. That's when I first got married and I moved into an apartment where there were non-observant Jews before us. So I got a torch from someone and I was gonna do a libun. So I started to hold it on one side of the oven. So the oven started, the metal started to bend in before it even got hot. So how did they ever do this libun on the oven? So they go like this very quickly. Go like this. It never gets hot.
Right.
Samase. You have to hold it for a while, not for an hour. You have to hold it for a couple of seconds so it should get burning hot. You hold it so long, it'll ruin the whole oven. It's not
unless
shy.
The oven is solid metal iron.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I would have given you a new oven.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Yeah.
self-cleaning oven gets burning hot, gets to over 950 if you leave it for long enough.
All the catering, you can put on pans and everything else. You can put on the frying pans and everything.
Okay, it'll all get oyster conscious. Okay, but if it's only a continually cleaning oven, then it doesn't get hot enough. You see, the industrial dishwashers have metal on the inside. And metal, you can do hagolah. There's no problem if you do hagolah metal. The only thing is, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if you have a knife that has a handle separate from the blade and they're held together, so you have a crack there. There's a tiny crack in between. So the choshish that maybe there's some bien that got caught in the crack and it's not going to come out ayidei hagolah. So in a dishwasher also, there are different kinds of dishwashers. Sometimes it's made up of different pieces of metal that are screwed together. And there's a seam over there. There's a crack. So there's a problem if you use it many times for chametz or for treifas, so there may be particles beyond that got caught in between the cracks. And then it's a pain in the neck. You have to go get a mechanic to unscrew the whole thing and then do the hagola and then screw it back together again. So it's a big job. But they manufacture other dishwashers that are completely smooth on the inside. One piece of metal.
Some of them have plastic.
Right, so the plastic, that's the shiloh, whether Hagola helps for the plastic. So Moshe Feinstein is machma for Pesach on not doing Hagola on plastic, and is makel for all year long. And others are makel on plastic even for Pesach. Ceramic, if it's earthenware, so then we assume Hagola does not help. So that's what Moshe wrote in his Chuvis, in his Sfarim, he assumed that the porcelain dishwashers that are usually sold for private homes, the metal dishwashers that's industrial, in hospitals and in restaurants that have like that. In private homes, usually it's not metal, it's porcelain. So the porcelain, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, that's the Kli Cheres, the Machma to treat porcelain like Kli Cheres, and Hagola wouldn't help. And then later in his life, they say over the name of Rav Moshe that he was told that even the porcelain dishwashers are not really, it's a blend of different kinds of material, like you said before, that there are different kinds of glass which have lead blending in with them. So how do you treat such a thing? If you say glass is treated like Kli Cheres, and lead is metal, so Hagola would help. And glass, Hagola doesn't help with Machme. So what do you do if you have a material that's a blend?
So 45% is porcelain, and porcelain is treated like Kli Cheres, but since 55% of it is Mateches, they treat it like Mateches, and Hagola would help. So they said that Rav Moshe said, if you have such a dishwasher where the material is a blend, more than 50% of it is Matechas, and less than 50% is the Cheres, then Hagola could help. And the same thing by the glass with the lead. It would depend on the rave and the meal. The Mokka is questionable. There's only a little bit of lead, right? So the rub would be Cheres. The rub would be glass, he would be treated like Cheres. The only shot is, what's the Mokka of that? Where, who states like that, that you go when you have a material that's a blend, so you go bust the rave. So that's based on Mishnayos and Caleb. Nice and Caleb is a different discussion. You're talking Kli Cheres have one din of Kabbalah Tumah. It's on the Kabbalah Tumah from the inside, not from the outside. It's on the Kabbalah Tumah from the Avir. If a dead Cheres is dangled in the Avir, it's not just touched the inside, and it has no tefillah of the mikveh, and Kli Matechas is a different din, and Kli Eitz is a different din, everything is a different din. So that's all Zeres HaKosuf. So the Halacha says that if you have a blend of Cheres and Matechas, so it's the status of the Kli is determined by the Rav. He's talking about Bliyas. Here is supposed to correspond to reality. Is there a Bliyas or not a Bliyas? Does the Bliyas come out Ayidei Hagola? So who says that you should self-do the Mishnah? But that's what all the latest Paschim for the last 150 years, that's how they all quote, that the Mishnah is the family, the last 150 years, that's the kind of materials that are blends of metal and glass. So they say it's determined by the Rav. Whatever the Rav is, that's how you determine. Here the Gemara and Lamed Omer Aleph has the discussion that you raised before. The Mishnah on Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph says there is a din of Chomet Sheova Olav HaPesach, but if Chemto Shal Nochri Sheova Olav HaPesach is Mutter. Chomet Shal Nochri Sheova Olav HaPesach Mutter Bahano Mishal Yisrael Osu Bahano Sheneemar. What The Mishnah, the sentence doesn't read straight. Chomet over all of HaPesach is also Bahadar Shenemar Lo Yivav HaSor. What does it got to do with anything? What is Shenemar Lo Yivav HaSor? Oh, the Gemara asks, Mani Mas Nisim, Mishnah doesn't make any sense at all. So the Gemara says, there's a Levat Rav Yisak Lili for a while. There's a famous Likmach Lekas Rav Yudah and Rav Shimon. There are three psukim in Chumash on Chav Ches and Rebeis. The Gemara says, there are three psukim in Chumash here. About 10 lines from the top, 15 lines. My time of the Rav Yudah, Talos HaKroi Ksidi. There are three psukim. That's where it says Shmoyz Yud Gimel, and Yvorim Tezayin, and here it says Shmoyz Yud Beis. There are three psukim, about 13 lines from the top. Talos HaKroi Ksidi, there are three psukim that say that you're not allowed to eat Chumash. Three psukim to say the same thing? You're not allowed to eat Chumash, right? So Rav Yudah says, one pasuk goes on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. One pasuk goes on eating chametz on Erev Pesach, after Hatzoyis, it's a loy seseh. And if you eat chametz, you get malchus on Erev Pesach. And the third pasuk goes on chametz, all of HaPesach, that it's an Issa deraita. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's chametz shel Yisrael or chametz shel Nachri. Any chametz in the world, when it comes Pesach, becomes also Banu, period, we are Lavoid. It's a blight also Banu. Needless to say, we don't pass from our Rav Yudah, because we sell the chametz to the guy who buys back, and we eat the chametz. According to Rav Yudah, there's no such institution of mechira chametz. All the chametz in the world becomes also machila manna when it comes to it. So we have not accepted Rav Yudah's opinion. So, you have to start all over again.
For flour.
You have to have flour that's not chametz, flour that's not chametz. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Gaonim, plain flour was not common. Kemach min hashuk. There was a chumrah that you shouldn't use it unless you get stuck. You have no brera. You shouldn't use kemach min hashuk. You should buy pesach for your flour that they were watching it, that it didn't become common. But kemach min hashuk, you didn't have to sell. You didn't have to do mechiras chametz on it. It wasn't common. But in the last 500 years, the pasuk say the regular flour is all bleached and it's all washed. And because they wash it very well, and a lot of times they saturate it with water. So from the time of the Radvaz, they point out to the 1500s, they say that the plain flour that they sell now is a hashash. It could be chametz zavim gomer, and it could be chametz nuksha. They say you have to get rid of all the flour. You have to sell the flour also with the chametz. You can't assume that it's treated like kevach min hashuk. Not the same way we used it. Yes. So I'm trying to review that you eat flour today.
Yeah.
You have to have
start all with wheat.
Start all over with the wheat. Yeah. Start all over with the wheat. And then make your chametz. You have to pay for any chametz that was in existence on Pesach from the current review that is also about Hilam and all the other books. So needless to say, we don't pass them like Rav Yudah. We pass them like the Sam Mishnah. So the Gemara says, well, what is the Mishnah? Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shita. Rav Shimon holds that chametz the Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there's no Yisr, there's no Pasuk. There's no pasuk. Now, chametz over al pesach, there's no pasuk. So chametz over al pesach is mutter, and chametz on erev pesach is also mutter. So Tais says, what do you mean? Chametz on erev pesach after chatzos is mutter. Why did they make such chumras that you're not allowed to eat chametz an hour before chatzos, 2 hours before chatzos? They were made harchokas on a din derabbanan. Chametz erev pesach after chatzos is only made derabbanan according to Rav Shimon. There's no lav. The Taisha says, no, there's no lab, there's an Isarasay. That it says Tashnitzim. Afni Amarishan Tashnitzim, Sarmi Matechim. You have to dispose of all the chametz. If you're going to eat it after Chatzos, that's an Isarasay of Tashnitzim, but there wouldn't be any Malkus. The Buddha holds that it's a Loisasay. It says three times, Tolosa Kreik Sivi, a Loisasay, Loye Yochel Chametz, Komachmetz, Loisachelu, Loisachel Lalo Chametz, a Loisasay. Rav Shimon holds there's no light set, there is an Issa deraita, but there's no light set, it's only an Issa asay. Gemara works that. What does Rav Shimon do with this Issa? Gemara explains. One goes on this, one goes on that. Gemara works that. Yeah, that's how the Balamor says, but Taisa says no, it's understood that Tashbita means Shalai Boif and Shal Hanoah. You're not allowed to get Achila, you're not allowed to get Hanoah, you're not allowed to do Achila. Tashbita means you have to destroy it. In a way that you're not eating and not getting any halal. So Rav Shimon agrees with the Rav Yudah that chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos may not be eaten, but he holds it's not a loisah, it's only an Issa Rasay. What What about Chomitcha? All of HaPesach says Shimon holds Buta Lagamre. There's no Isser at all. So what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah is the like man. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chomitcha of HaPesach, and then he said there is, it does make a difference whether it belongs to a Yid or to a Nachri. So the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. That's clear. But the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon either. According to Rabbi Shimon, Chomitcha of HaPesach is Mutter. What does it say that it's Osir? And furthermore, we don't understand Shememala. We don't understand that the Pasuk is the wrong Pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, Knossakon is Reb Shimon. That's not Chav Testament Aleph, about 13 lines on the top. Liyayim Ravam, Liyayim Reb Shimon, the Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, Knossakon is. Hovav, Alebe Bal Yerabai Matzeh. That's what it means. Reb Shimon holds Menasera Chomachal about Pesach is Mutter. But with the Rabbanim, they made a penalty because you violated by Rabbi Moshe. And you have to change, the Gemara says, you have to change the gears in the Mishnah. Shenemar doesn't make any sense. Shenemar means, as it says in the Chumash. What does Layuvah L'chassar have to do with Chumash Olah Pesach? Layuvah is Bal Yerah, Pesach. What does it have to do? So the Gemara says, no. Mishum Shenemar. Mishum Shenemar. You change the gears. Mishum Shenemar means that it's with the Rabbanim. Because it says Le'irah, you violated Bal Yerah.
So
that's why we introduced the penalty. Whenever it says that's the Gemara, we learned in Gittin. We learned Gittin a couple of years ago. The Gemara says when you write a get, you have to write it in Shema. But only the crucial parts of the get. There's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of extra L'shainas in the get that really you can live without that. You don't need such repetition. So the Gemara calls the Iker part of the get that's indispensable. If you don't have that, that's called the Torah. So that means the Shema Menatera. And the Tofes, the rest of the Tisman, that's all repetitious. Menatera doesn't need the Shema, but the Rabbana needs the Shema. So when the Mishnah says you have to write everything with the Shema, so it says in the Mishnah, Shenemar, because of law of the Shema. So the Gemara corrects it, not Shenemar. Shum Shenemar. There is, it is that you need the Shema on the Torah. So when the Rabbana made it in that on the Tofes, on the fluffy part, you also need the Shema. But the Gemara there makes a distinction between Shenemar as opposed to Mishum Shenemar. So that's here also. As the Mishnah says, Shenemar. Sounds like it's explaining a dinneraisa. So the Gemara is Magia. No, it's a Knas. And it should really read Mishum Shenemar. So here the Gemara has the following. The Gemara has the Rizna Machloike Satanaim Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. Regarding Chomisha over all about Pesach, whether it's a Nisa deraisa, Nisa derabbana. What's the Nachkimina? So the Gemara says, one Nachkimina is, what about Chemto Shal Nochri? Over all of our Pesach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a penalty. Any chametz in the world, when it comes Pesach, it becomes Osirban or the Arnavon, period. So it's Osir, even Chemza Shalakum. And we don't pass, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. The chametz Shalak Pesach is Mutter, and it's only a penalty, and if it was owned by Yid, owned by Nachri, there's no penalty. So that's one Nachkimina, Chemza Shalakum.
What about you?
So one of the Achrayim came up with such an Einfather. Chomitch all of our Pesach is only a penalty to the one who violated by Yerah, but to all other members of Klal Yisrael's Mutter, so that has not been accepted. We don't hold like that. We say that the penalty is to everybody. No one is allowed to eat the Chomitch all of our Pesach. That would have made life very easy. Yeah. So one of the Achrayim has like that. So the Shari Tshuva quotes it, then he rejects it. There's nobody holds like that.
Why should it be so? Because I mean, he left over the Pesach, why does it come also on for me?
If it'll be Mutter, then he's going to get away with murder. He'll sell it to someone else. And he made it also to everybody. Right. No, no one should be able to.
That's the same thing. Right. They're going to bring something in the Chutz Rishon. So for the guy that we go to, he's also going to come for the story now.
Okay. So this is it. Okay. This is the living thing. That's because the Geizesh, Geizesh says that if a Nachri does a Malach of the Shvul Yisrael, you're not allowed to be Nana, because the Chayshish maybe I'll ask the Nachri to do it to me. So the Yid for whom the Malach was done is not allowed to get Hanoah. Or the Yid may get Hanoah. Because the Chayshish maybe he'll ask him to do it. Other people, he didn't do it for them. What are you going to say? The Chayshish maybe he's going to ask. But here's the difference. So now the Gemara has on Lam and Amalach, Gemara has another Nachimina. Let's say I have a chomitzik pot. I have a chomitzik. Let's say I cook my wheatina. I never taste it in the morning. I have a chomitzik pot that has a bli of chomitz in it. And then I finish my breakfast and I have Pesach. I wash out the pot and I put it away. that part is kosher. When it comes Leil Pesach, the part becomes trace.
Because
of the Bliya. The Bliya and the part becomes trace. Like the Noisa.
Yeah.
I cooked the carbon exactly the same as Noisa. I cooked the carbon chatzis, everything was kosher. I ate it up Techa's mom before chatzis.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For a short period of time.
So the shaila is, does it or does it not become chomich or olah on Pesach?
But it's a bliya
count. Oh, the Gemara says that he can. No, why is it a bliya count? No, I didn't do any hagala at all. If you would have done hagala, but you would have needed libur, he didn't do any kashering at all. He just puts it away. So what's the din? So the Gemara, Kemat Neferi says like this. If the din would, the Gemara assumes that there's no bayirai bayimotzei on chomich zikah bliyas in a pot. It's not food. Not balabasta sasalafi, so you have chunks of mokshin on the outside of the pot. That's not a belia in the pot. That's the difference. So we're not talking about that. That's not by Amshi Shlameina, that's by other people. But if you have just a belia in the pot, so the Gemara assumes that double potion is not by Rabbi Mata. The thing is not food. But nonetheless, the belia can have an Issa Chala on it for Harayim and the potion in Parsha Sav. It says it can be Chala Shem Noisar. On the bliya, that's why you have to kasher it in advance to prevent it from becoming nicer. But you see, even though it's a terrible, when I cooked everything in the pot, it was a kosher top, it's a kosher level. When it comes alois on shachar, the bliya in the pot can become also. So the Gemara says, it depends, how do you pass? Can you pass like Rav Yehuda, or do you pass like Rav Shimon? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel had a machlokes, whether you pass like Rav Yehuda, the chomet shavah ba'pesach is an isa deraisa, but you pass on like Rav Shimon, it's only a penalty for having violated by your Rabbi Moshe. If you hold that it's only a penalty for having violated by your Rabbi Moshe, there is no Bal Yirah in Bliyas Kalim. It's not, you can't eat the pot.
Right.
So there's no Bal Yirah in the Bliyas Kalim, so there's no penalty. So that's why we are safe. We put away all the Chametz Nikki Kalim. You don't have to sell the Kalim to the Nachris. In fact, all the pots can point that, Rabbi Moshe can point that. If you sell the kalim to the nochri, then when you buy back, you have to be table the kalim all over again. That's not right. So you're not supposed to sell. You're not supposed to sell. And you don't even have to be machmet to sell the bli of chomets and the kli. That's narish. The more is beferish that there's no bagiroa on bli of kalim. If you have spaghetti on the outside of the pot, that you should clean up. But that was all right.
I have someone who mentioned that there's no bagiroa, but it would be on any desire.
That's a big discussion. Shagatarya and Turiyevin have a discussion on that. Is there a tzlach? The tzlach and the Shagatarya have it. Is there a din of chatzishir asim and antarvus or bal yiroa or not? That's a big discussion. Yeah. We discussed the first mission and basis. A pilpul. Shaila was a din of Maybe we'll get to that. We'll see. Okay. Maybe we'll get to that. We'll see. First, let's do this. So the Gemara says that there was a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel whether we should pass him like Rav Yehuda or pass him like Rav Shimon. So what's an afkamina? If you pass him like Rav Yehuda, the chomet she'ovah all about Pesach is not a penalty with the Rabbana for having violated by your Rabbi Moshe. It is this, that whatever chomet is that exists on Pesach becomes also a Yerlov Roy. Rack like our Yudin. So then, all the chomet zikim pots and pans that are sitting in the cabinet become trace, the Yerlov Roy. So after Pesach is over, not only can you not use the chomet zikim kalim on Pesach, you have to go, after Pesach, you have to kasher all the pots that lend themselves to kashering. And if you have china, then you have to throw it all out and buy all new kalim.
That's only if it's Yom HaBah, even if it's already 24 hours, it's
fine. The 24 hours went by, Paskin, that ain't a bed yoimai. If you have a trace of belia in a pot that's sitting in the charges on Zera for more than 24 hours, that's nice and common ground and it doesn't count. It happens that Rav doesn't agree with that either. Rav holds that nice and Rav has a double header on it. The Rav holds that
it's more than double. Also Rav, no?
Not that big. Not the way. Rav holds that after 24 hours, a belia and a pot after 24 hours also applies to that. And Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, the Chomet Shavu La Pesach, and Denisa Deraisa, not because of a penalty, because the person is violated by Rabbi Mutton. And this is their Isa. The Rav community, it didn't help that they put away the Chametz Bikikin. After Pesach, they had a kasha all the Kalim before they used it for Chametz.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year. And whatever wasn't kosherable, whatever was China,
they had to throw away.
They had to throw away and buy new dishes. So the merchants, the Gemara says, used to raise the prices. They had the people over a barrel here. They came after Pesach, they could charge whatever they want, because no one had any, they didn't have any dishes. They had to throw out all the dishes. But Gemara says that Shmuel didn't agree with either position of Rav. Shmuel didn't agree if the treifas is sitting in the pot for more than 24 hours.
Kamal Gam
doesn't count at all. You can't say, see, I gave the mashal before, I cooked my wheatina in the pot and there at Pesach in the morning, I gave that mashal, so on Pesach night, it's still a day yom. But usually that's not the case.
Yeah, right.
My wife is not going to let me make any wheatina a couple of days before Pesach. Not because she holds like the Shmuel. It has nothing to do with Rav Shmuel. The Shmuel didn't agree with Rav on two accounts. Number one, he holds whatever the trace is. His balua in the pot for more than 24 hours, nice and sound like yom, so nothing is going to happen to them. It's only lahatrila asam of the Rabbah. Number two, he holds like Rav Shimon, the chomet all of our pesach is only a penalty from the Rabbana because he violated by your by Motze. And on the priest came him, there is a value by Motze. So the Gemara says that on one Pesach, Shmuel was visiting the Asrei the Rav in the community of Rav. And the merchants came on Yisruchag and they're charging Yefelecha prices for the new China dishes. So Shmuel warned them, you better lower your prices or I'm going to advertise, I'm going to tell the people my opinion that it's not necessary. So the Gemara says, so why didn't he threaten them? Why didn't he say something? The Gemara says, he's not allowed to say something. Asrei the Rav. Rav is the Mordash, Asrei the Balabas, and Asrei the Rav. They're stuck. They have a Rabbi Rav who's very machmir. But Shmuel knew it. He all knew that if he will let it be known that he disagrees with Rav, some of the Balabas will follow him. Even though they're not supposed to, some of them will follow him and the merchants will lose their business. So that's why he warned them. He threatened them. He said, you better not charge too much, or I'm going to let it be known that I disagree with you. And this is one of the Gemaras that the conservatives quote. You see from the Gemara that you have a right to change the halacha whenever there's a hefset moment. There's no hefset moment. He's not changing the halacha. The Gemara says that Rav held that it's usher. And Shmuel held always a shita that it's mutter. And Shmuel is not allowed to tell the Balabatim of Rav that they shouldn't listen to their rabbi. Rav is entitled to his opinion. The word Tanoim will help like that. He held like the Tanu holds nice and Tamil Gam is also. And he held that that like Rav Yudah, the Chamash Olah Pesach is their right. But, and Shmuel was upset. Why are they charging? There's a racket over here. They're charging so much money. So he said he threatened them that they better lower the prices to a reasonable price. So he's going to let it be known that he disagrees with Rav. And some of the Balabatim will not buy new dishes so that he'll be mopped in the merchant. That was the threat, but he wasn't changing the halacha because of the hefted moment. Usually we talk, and whenever there's a machlekes Rav Shmuel, usually we talk like Rav and the hefted. This is one of the several exceptions to the rule. Because the Gemara tells us, we are mekel on the nice time of Gam, if the Bliya was in the sitting in the Kedera for more than 24 hours, we're mekel. And then we're also mekel on this, we talk like Rav Shimon, the chomet sha'ova, all of our Pesach, is only a penalty with the Rabbanim, which only applies if the person by someone violated by you by Moshe. But if it's a Bali and a Kli, there wasn't a violation of by you by Moshe, then not. So this is fascinating, this whole Einfall that the Gemara has, that all year long I eat kosher food, I put away the pots and pans and the cabinet, and all of a sudden it comes Pesach, they become trade. What happens? Where did it? It's from Parshas Tzav. It comes to the famous from Parshas Tzav. The Kohanim ate up the carbon chatas, and we washed it off the secret sand with detergent, we put away the pot, and it says in the Chumash, the pot becomes trace, it becomes noisar, when it comes alois ha-shachar. That's a pasuk. So that's that famous Gemara. On the same daf, the Gemara starts on Chav Tes and it continues to Lamed Amud Aleph, so the Gemara has a machlokes amaroim regarding Chumash v'Pesach. How much do you need to be mevatel Chumash v'Pesach? So one opinion is that it's bottle b'shishim, like everything is called Yisurim Shabbat Torah. Or Benoit and Tam, we assume that's the bottom of Chav Tes on the day, three lines from the bottom. All these are about the nice and time. If you have Shishim, we assume that it's ain't a nice and time, it's gonna be Muslim. And the Shaila is, what about Chometz B'Pesach? Should we say it's also the Shishim? Or maybe we should have a Chumr that it should be the Mashu. Maybe Afila Be'elef like Basel, maybe it's never Basel. So that's a Machlokes on a Din D'Rabbanan. What's the Maskana? We'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a minute. So the Shaila is, what is the Maskana Sagimara? So the way we have the Maskana, the Gemara says, Hilchusah, the top line. Hilchusah, the Omar Rabbah, the Psaq, his top line, Alam and Amid Aleph. Chometz Bizmana, Be'bimina, Ben Shalab, Be'bimina, Asa, Be'mashu. Shaik. The Dinah said it's Asa, Be'mashu. That's the way we have the gears. I say we have the gears because the longest place is quote, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like that gears and he thinks that it doesn't make any sense. And he says, not true. The Chometz is Bapu, the Shishin, there's no Dinah, Mashu. And he quotes the Shiltas, the Rabbi Choykel, and all kinds of Girsa like that. Different Girsa, the Chometz is not the Mashu. The Chometz is the Shishin. Yes. On Pesach.
Yes.
The Chometz is Batul, the Shishin on Pesach. So we don't pass him like the Rabbi Natama, the Shiltas, but we keep it in the back of our mind. And in Shulchan Aruch they say, if there are others, several others, Zadim Lahakel, so this is Chazil and Tarufet. We'll be Mitzarim, this Rabbi Natama and the Shiltas, to be Mitzarim Lahakel. In case you have some other possibilities of Kulis, there's what to be mitzarev the shitas Rabbi Natan. Here there's an interesting question. The Prima Glenna Frank Akasha. The Gemara just has two opinions, but the Chometz is both of the Shishim, like all these Jewish Shabbat Torah, or Chometz the Mashu. There's nothing in between.
Yeah,
would
be like Truma or Roma.
Oh, so here's the din is that Truma,
the mayor.
Mayor. In order to be Mabatul Truma, you need 100 units of Heter, yeah. Against the one unit of Truman. And then, Orlo, Loyakerem, you need Masai, you need 200 units of Heter against the one unit of Isa in order to be buckled. So, Midirabbanan, the Gemara says in Masachas Nida, the mayor by the Truman is Midirabbanan, and the Masai by the Orlo, Loyakerem is Midirabbanan. Where did they come up with such a nice file that the Orlo and the Loyakerem should be Masayim? The Rashi always quotes on the Gemara, whenever the Gemara quotes is Rashi himself, and Rashi and other magicians. He always quotes from the Sifra, in the Torah Kohanim, that Truma is also Bachila and Muta Bahano. Orla Klakarim is also Bachila Ubahano. So, Mitech Shekof Al Isuro, since it's a double Isur, Orla Klakarim is twice as Chomer as Truma. So, Kof Al Aliyasa, to the Shir people, is also double. So, the Truma is deficient with Meya, but Orla Klakarim is double in Isur, so you need Masai. So, that's the thing that Orla Klakarim needs Masai in the Rabbah. So the Prima Gordon asks this Kasha, how come the Gemara just has two opinions, whether Chometz B'Pesach is B'Shishim, or you jump all of a sudden to Mashu, all the way to the other extreme? There should have been the middle. There should have been Messiah. In Kofali Surah, it's also Machila Bahano. We have very rare that things are also Bahano. But since Chometz B'Pesach is also Machila Bahano, there should be Kofali Mitzuda. You should need Messiah. That's the Prima Gordon's Kasha. Is that so?
No.
If you have Basar into Cholav, a Cholav into Basar is Bishishim. What if you have Basar into Cholav that falls into something?
Right.
So we pass can also that it's Basar Bishishim.
Yes.
Okay. Mashu, yeah. The Rambam has something like that, yeah. So this Prima Gadim is what to work on. This Kasha is an interesting terrace, but that's the Kasha is very interesting. Yes. Kasha is interesting. The Rambam writes as if the din of Mashu would be a Dizaraita.
Yes.
The Rambam quotes his din. The Chometz B'Pesach is the Mashu, and he gives the reason why. It's only the Rabbanan, it's not a din of Torah. The Pashtus is only a din of the Rabbanan. So the Rambam says, why? Because it's a Dabba She'esh L'Matirin. Because the Chometz is only also B'Pesach, and after Pesach is Mutter, and there is a din with the Rabbanon, and that's called Dabba She'esh L'Matirin, and I feel the Be'el of Lay Bavu. Right?
Yes.
According to Hayes, we don't pass like Rabbi. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. The Chometz Shavuot Pesach is Mutter min HaTorah. So the Ramban in Pesachim has the Kash on the Rambam, but with the Rabbanon, Chometz Shavuot Pesach is also. That's not the Rabbanon. It's on the level of the Raisa, the Frek, the Ramban. There is no such halacha of Dabba She'esh L'Matirin Lloyd Bavu. On the level of the Rabbanon, that there's a din that Dabba She'esh L'Matirin is the Mashu, it's on the level of the Rabbanon, Chometz Pesach is Dabba She'esh L'Matirin. Because it's a chash with the Rabbanim. He says he doesn't understand the chlav what the Rambam is talking about. Why did the Rambam say that chometz, the tesach, is the mashu? Because the dov sheish matirin. On the level of the righteous, there's no din of dov sheish matirin the mashu. The Gemara said the same. Dov sheish matirin is only with the Rabbanim. I mean, if the chametz belongs to a nachri and it falls in and it gets nisare, so that'll be dov sheish matirin. But let's say it's a Jew. Usually the shaila is by a Jew. A little chametz fell in. So by us it's dov sheish matirin. So why is our chametz the mashu? Only by a nachri it should be the mashu. The Rambam says chametz is the mashu and a yiddish a home. But he's only talking about a goyish company. Chametz is mashu only a goyish company. A yiddish a home. Chametz will not be the mashu. No, chametz is the mashu when the Yiddish home is the mashu. So that's a shaila. Why is that a dov sheish matirin? On the level of the right, there's nothing a dov sheish matirin in mashu. The whole din is only with the rabbanim. No, on a level of rabbanim, the chametz is dov sheish matirin. This is the rabbanim. So the Rambam writes in Yeridei, we don't pass him like the Rambam's reason. We don't accept that reason. The chametz is the mashu because dov sheish matirin. We accept the reason of the Bali Atayis. Chametz the mashu. What do you mean we don't accept this reason? What's the difference? What reason to accept? There's a filter over here. The Gemara says Chametz B'mashu. There have been a time in the Shulchan cross out the Gerizim. There's no such thing Chametz B'mashu. We don't accept. But we do accept it. We pass Chametz B'mashu. So what is the Rambam taking us in? He says we pass in like the Tesis, the Chametz is B'mashu, because of Chumer the Kareis, but not because of the reasoning of the Rambam. What's the difference when you say the reason of the Rambam and the reason of Tesis? The Chometz is the Mashu. What's the difference? What? All the Kareis, and there's no Mashu. Right, so that's what Tesis says. It's the Mashu, but we like to deal with each other. Because all year long we do eat Chometz. Tesis, for example, all year long we don't eat it. The Chometz, all year long we do eat it, so we want to make our Hachokin. So Tesis makes the package deal like that. So that's what the Shach discusses the other day. What if there are more take a stand over here? A pilpul. What's the difference? What the reason is? The bottom line, the chometz is the mashu. So the Shach explains us, chaptan afkemina. What if the chometz falls in on Erev Pesach? Chometz on Erev Pesach is author, minatayra, fine, yes, the chasay is also minatayra. But there is no courage. Courage is only in chometz in Pesach. Chometz Erev Pesach, Anisa Rasei. Even if you're all like Rav Shimon, like Rav Yudah, Anisa Loisez, but there's no courage. So what would the din be if Chometz calls in to non-Chometz on Erev Pesach? Would it be the Shishim or would it be the Mashu? Then the Rambam would probably say that it's the Mashu. Because it's the Dov Sheish Matirin. It doesn't have to be courage. So the Rambam says we don't pass him like the Rambam. Means that Chometz Erev Pesach is bottom of the Shishim, only if it's Chometz and it's Arav Pesach, that'll be the Mashu. So that's what the Rishayim have a machlokes, what's the din, if Chometz was, a little bit of Chometz fell into Hefer a week before Pesach, and you had Shishim. And then it comes Pesach, do you say Chayza the Nier? Do you say, Kaidim at Pesach, no problem. But when it comes to Pesach, Chametz be Pesach is the Mashu. But he say, no, Chametz be Pesach is the Mashu means if the Taruv is it happened on Pesach. But if it happened before Pesach, then it's already in the bottle of the Shisha. Oh, so the Vilna Goin explains like that, that Chametz Kaidim is Manai is Heter. So the whole din of Bittul only applies if you have an Issa falls into Hesed. But Koidim Atesa is the Hesed, so there's no discussion of Bittul. So when does the whole issue begin? Erev Pesach, after Chatzai. So what's the din on Erev Pesach after Chatzai? So according to the Rambam, Chometz is the Mashu. So Koidim Azman, there's nothing to discuss, there's no Bittul. When it comes to Erev Pesach after Chatzai, she's saying the Mashu. So the Mashu. So that's why the Rambam holds that it's Koidim Aniyah. It's not that it's chayz in the ear, it was bottle and then it wakes up. It was never bottle in the first place, because it was hetzer to hetzer. And when it comes to Pesach after Chatzai, the Rambam holds that the reason why Chometz is the Mashu is Dov Sheish Matirin, that applies even on Erev Pesach. So the Rambam says it's going to be the Mashu. But the other Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. And the Rambam says, we don't pass like the Rambam. We don't pass in this reason of Dovishayishlam Adir. Like the Rambam says, on the level of the Raita, there is no din of Dovishayishlam Adir in Mashu. The Gemara says, it's only a Chum of the Rabban. On the level of Rabban, Chomet is Dovishayishlam Adir. Because Chomet Shalom of Pesach will be Yosef, Yiddish, Yiddish Yom is going to be Yosef. So we don't accept the Rambam. So we pass in Chomet that our Pesach is Bottom. So if the Chomet got mixed up on Purim or a week before Pesach, Bittul didn't set in yet, it's all Hesed, everything is Hesed. You can't discuss Bittul. But it comes, when you begin to discuss the topic of Bittul, when it comes there, Pesach, Chatzai's time. So the Rambam says, we pass in a Biz Bottle then. So Shain Bottle give us. It's not going to be Chomet in the year. The Rabbah, yes. 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 Shem Chomet, yes, Shem Chomet. Yeah, yes. No, but it's irrelevant. You can't speak about this because it's after the whole issue is irrelevant. It has a Shem Chomet. It has a Shem Chomet, but the whole issue is irrelevant. So you can only discuss this when the issue is relevant. Yeah. No, but yeah, but the Vilna Goyen quotes this klal from the Rishonim from the Ramban has on the first Davar Kol Basar. A klal that Hesed the Hesed loy Basar. The whole din of Bittul only applies if there's Hesed. If the thing is Hesed, then it's not a Bittul. No din of Bittul. No din of Bittul. So when the Ramban writes that halach, when the Ramban quotes this Gemara, the Chomet is the Mashu. So he says one reason why is because Dov Sheish Matir and loy Basar. But Dov Sheish Matir and loy Basar. The din only applies when we learn Beitza, we learn. When we learn Daf Lamed Ches and Beitza, the tongue twister of a whole sukkah there, that the Mamayna like Bottle, that the Shvera Gemara. So the Gemara says that Dovashesh Matir like Bottle is only if it's Nim the Minoi. If it's Nim Shein the Minoi, then there is no din. That Dovashesh Matir is like Bottle. Here the din is the Chomet Bethesda, they be Minoi Beit Shalai be Minoi. Also the Mashu. So the Rambam has to explain something of it. Did he say chumah the chomet, chumah the pesach,
kare?
So you make all the chumahs you want. Mina, shalai, mina, shalai. Make a throw all chumahs. But the Rambam writes it's a regular din of dov sheish matirin. So how does it correspond to the regular din? Dov sheish matirin is only min the mina. It shouldn't apply to min the sheini mina. So the Rambam has to touch it up a little bit. He has to say something. So he says that chumah the pesach is a dov sheish matirin. That's why it's the Mashu. Aye, but that only makes sense by Nimbin. You know what Nimshin means? So the Rambam says, and it says in the Chumash, Kol Machmetas Lois Achelu, Kol means a Koldu, even a Mashu. What do you mean? So didn't they write that? The Chumash the Mashu says, didn't they write that? So what do we have to hack at Shining about the Dosh Ish Matire? Are they right? What do we have to stop that? It's a Pasuk, are they right? And then the Rabbanon. Say, it's a Pasuk, Kol Machmetas. There is no such thing. Chomet v'mashu can't be a din d'raita. Nobody, you learn the whole Gemara. It's a gzeirim in the Rabbana, the Feirish. Up to this, up to that, it's a hashashir. It's not a din d'raita. What is the Rambam talking about? Kol machmetas lezachim. It's a teledik a Rambam. The Rambam used to say over the Merkevet HaMishnah. He said his grandfather, Rav Chaim Held, there's a sefer Merkevet HaMishnah on the Rambam. Very boring. When you have a shver a Rambam, so the Briske, Rav Chaim, and Adolvale, and Adolvale, they always say, Nazi, you know, oil of Italian chemistry, you know, analysis, a whole analysis, conceptual analysis. But Kevin Tamishna always very bland. He says, the Rambam never said it, and the Gemara never said it, and the words are this, and the words are that. So usually he's very boring, and once in a while, he says the Pashup Shot. Once in a while, you just can't argue with him. So over here, he has Pashup Shot in this Rambam. He points out like this. The Gemara has in the beginning of the third parak in Sochin, there is a whole discussion about Taruvah Schof. The Gemara has a Mem Gimel Amud Aleph about 10 lines in the bottom. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis on that Mem Gimel Amud Aleph that says on the side Shmos Yud Beis, so they quote that pasuk. Kol Machmetzus Lo Sachelu LeRabbos Kusach Habab L'Shech Ramadim. What are all these cases? Taruv is
chomet.
Not only a loaf of bread or a cookie of option, a taruv is chomet. Yeah. You have an ingredient that's less than 50%. Less than 50%, it's more than 50%, and it's b'yed. Yeah. Less than 50% is called taruv. It should have been bottled, but nonetheless it's not. Kol machmetz means kol dehu. A little bit mixed in. Yachol Yehei Onish Kares, and if you eat such a Taruvah, so you have Kares, that there's no Tamaloyma, there's no Kares. So the Rambam quotes this in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Yad HaHadrachot, that it's a separate lab, you're not allowed to eat Chomet, and if you eat Chomet, it's Kares, and you're not allowed to eat a mixture that has less than 50%, it's a Koldu, Kol Machnetes, it's a Koldu, a little bit of an ingredient, less than 50%, you're not allowed to eat it, but if you eat it, you don't get Kares, he quotes what it says in Nigmar. So the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos says, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. The Rambam passes that Tamkik is their ice. If you have any food in the world that has a non-kosher ingredient mixed in, that gives tam. Then it's a derech, and there is kares. There is kares. If it's chel of the dam mixed in, and you can taste it. If you can't taste it, it's bubble. If you can't taste it, it's not bubble. If you taste it, it's not bubble. So it's kares. So what is the Rambam talking over here? Is he talking that the chomet is nice and tam? So let it be kares. It is not nice and tam, so it's bubble. He doesn't understand. What did he make a separate lav over here? That's the regular law. He doesn't understand what the Rambam is talking about. So the Makkevis HaMishnah points out boring plan. He says, if you read the Rambam, the words of the Rambam, he says that Taruv is Chomei, if you have Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, if you have a certain proportion, a Pras is either three bakes in or four bakes. And a kazayas is either a third of a base or half of a base. So this is the ratio. So if you have, let's say, if you only have 1% of chomet, the ingredient mixed in, then that's not going to be included in this pasuk. But if you have, let's say, 20%, 15-20%, then that will be included in the pasuk, then it's going to be an isin. The Rambam never said that it's nice and sound. Mashmos of the Rambam is that even if it's min b'minoy, even if it's, let's say, flour with flour, it's Pesach with a flour and Chomet with a flour, and he mixes it together and he makes Pesach thicker cookies. And more than 50% of it was Pesach with a flour. And less than 50% of it was Chomet with a flour. And the dit should normally be that that's Bottle Chasachray. Nimbimina is Bottle Chasachray. What do you mean you taste the flavor? It all tastes the same. It's all Nimbimina. The Rambam never says he's talking about Nimbimina. He says that Chomet, that you have Kazayas, Tachkadeh, Achimus, Pras, that ratio of 15-20%. So he says it'll be, and he says they're right, but there won't be courage. If you're talking, it's nice and tam, less than 50%, but Nim Shein and Ninoi, and it's nice and tam, so nice and tam, it's tam kiker, then there will be courage. The Rambam's talking Nim Biminoi, or the Rambam's talking Nim Shein and Ninoi, and it doesn't succeed in giving a tam, doesn't always give a tam. Not always opposed to that she gives a tam. And nonetheless, the Rambam has a chiddush that it's an iser. So that iser is not going to have kares. So that's what the Makkevis HaMishnah says. The other Rambam, when the Rambam says the chomet b'pesach is b'mashu who is exeirim in the rabbanon, and he gives the reason why, because it's a dovish sheyesh lo matirin. So the Rambam is bothered, but dovish sheyesh matirin is only bandim b'nino, bandim sheyesh matirin is not even dovish sheyesh matirin. So the Rambam says, but on chomet b'pesach is a din v'arais of mashu. A little bit. This din of chomet b'mashehu is called the tikkun rabbanan came the right to tikkun. There is a din on the level of their eyes, a little bit, not exactly mashehu. There is a little bit of a din of mashehu. What does mashehu mean? It really should, according to the rules and regulations of bittul, it should have been bittul. And nonetheless, we say it's not bittul. That's called mashehu. So let's say if you have nim b'mino, it gets mixed up, and it's less than 50%. So call it tarkula, it's bittul. And the Chomet b'Pesach, the Rambam says that it's an Issa Deraisa. That's called Mashu. That's also Mashu. It's not Echad B'Yelah. It's only up until 15-20%. Has to be Kazai Stach D'Achilas Prat. If you only have 1%, then it's not going to be the Mashu. But on the level of Deraisa, there is a partial din of Mashu over here. That the Rambam says Kazai Stach D'Achilas Prat, the Chomet is also no Kari. It's not Tam Kiker. It's Eina Noisim Tam Tzina Minda Minoi. But still, on the level of the Raisa, there is a shtick of Mashahu over here. So, but the Rabbanan, they extended the Mashahu all the way. It's even past Kazai Sadachi was brought. And in all cases, we say Mashahu. The Rambam says they put together two din. They put the din of Dalshesh Matirin by Bottle, but that should only apply to Nim and Ninoi. And by Chomis Matesach, there is on the level of the Raisa a case of Mashahu. That it's more common than Kalat Arkula. That even though Kalat Arkula would have been bottled the right, here it's not bottled. Chat betray, calls out its Kazai Sachil's process also. So that's already a din of Mashu. that because on the level of their eyes there's a mixus of mashu, that the name that it's always mashu, they mean it, they mean mishayna mina. That's the Makavis HaMishnah, that's that Rambam. The famous Rambam. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. A group of Talmidim in Yeshiva, Talmidim in Yeshiva always have different projects. So a group of Talmidim in Yeshiva have a project, they spend $7,000 to send taste of provisions to the Jews who live in Vilna and several other cities near them. These Jews are very poor, and these Jews are not so observant, so if they're not going to send them taste of provisions, they will need comments on taste of. And then number three, maybe the Al-Kulam, these Jews still have access to Kisrayat and the Vilna Goyim that they keep on giving to people when they're authentic Kisrayat, they keep on printing them. Every year they come out with four sovereigns from the Vilna Goyim from Talmidei HaGrom. So that's why this group of Talmidim keep on,
being friends with them.
Being friends, maintaining their friendship with them. They never harm the Eden also. So they laid out $7,000. So they're asking if people can help them, cover their expenses. Rabbi Heshi Reichman has a tax-exempt organization that's called, what is it called? Torah Study Fund. So if people want to participate, if you want to make out checks to the Torah Study Fund, and the money will be used towards paying for these provisions that we sent to them. Observance in the Queens, and then the next Tuesday there will be a Yom HaTzmaut.